On Thursday's front page, the rebels in Libya went into full-scale retreat. They're waiting for renewed air support. In Afghanistan, the Taliban are showing signs of strain. Some Afghans say the Taliban have been weakened by killings and arrests that reached to their hideouts in Pakistan. And will Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords run for the Senate seat being vacated by Republican John Kyle? Other potential Democratic candidates say they won't jump in until she bows out. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi took back towns they had given up days ago. Rebel fighters went into retreat. They fled in the face of shelling and missile attacks from Briga. The rebels pulled back to Ajibiya. The Gaddafi government faced a setback off the battlefield. Foreign Minister Moussa Koussa flew to London and told British authorities he was resigning. Koussa's defection sent shockwaves through Tripoli. He's been a confidant of Gaddafi and a pillar of the regime. He once headed the widely feared secret police. Also on Thursday's front page, officials from the Tokyo Electric Power Company have been appearing daily to apologize to the public. The frontline workers have remained almost entirely anonymous. Some are now admitting they're frustrated. They say they got sometimes conflicting orders from their bosses. One longtime Tokyo Electric employee says that at first, the workers quarreled about whether to go to the Fukushima Daiichi plant and what to do to keep the disaster from getting worse. In Afghanistan, the Taliban are showing signs of strain. This comes after a number of killings and arrests that reached into their hideouts in Pakistan. Three powerful Taliban commanders were killed last month in Quetta in southwest Pakistan. Several high-ranking commanders have also been arrested. Some Afghans say there's now a climate of paranoia and distrust within the Taliban. Times reporter Mike McIntyre looks at why a Tea Party group called the Institute for Liberty says it's against tariffs on paper from Indonesia. The Institute has been presenting corporate messages wrapped in populist Tea Party themes. The Institute won't say who financed the campaign against the tariffs, but it coincided with a public relations push by a giant Indonesian paper manufacturer. In Arizona, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords' supporters are imagining a run for the Senate. She's still in the hospital after the shooting in Tucson in January. Her aides are whispering she might run for the Senate seat being vacated by Republican John Kyle. Other potential Democratic candidates say they won't jump in until she bows out. That's giving the Republicans a head start. The stigma against fat people is spreading around the globe. Researchers say it's a side effect of campaigns that treat obesity as a public health threat. Alexandra Bruis of Arizona State University says negative body image and low self-esteem are not what should be going out with public health messaging. Inside Thursday's Times, officials are investigating the deaths of 9 Alabama hospital patients from tainted IVs. Alabama's chief health officer says it's not clear whether they died from bacteria in an IV bag or from existing illnesses. All 9 had been given an IV nutritional supplement that investigators say was contaminated. 10 other patients who received the nutritional supplement are also sick. Thousands of teachers across the nation are facing layoffs. That has school systems scrambling to avoid chaos, or what educators call teacher churn. Teachers who aren't laid off could be forced to change schools, grade levels, or subjects. Some school superintendents say layoffs also undermine student achievement and hurt ties with parents. President Obama announced a goal of cutting oil imports by one-third. He said there were no quick fixes for the nation's addiction to fossil fuels. He said car makers should build more electric cars and convert more trucks to natural gas. He also said biofuels could reduce petroleum imports. 2 airplane pilots who face criminal charges in Brazil are getting their day in court in the U.S. They were at the controls of a commuter jet that collided with a passenger plane at 37,000 feet. 154 people were killed. The pilots refused to go back to Brazil, so they're testifying over a video link from Long Island. Times reporter William Glaberson says technical problems have made it hard to follow the questions and answers and the translations. Once they were synonymous with terrorist attacks, but now some militant Islamic fundamentalists in Egypt have jumped on the democracy bandwagon. That has some Egyptians wondering why religious organizations that once damned the democratic process are doing an about-face. Going into the referendum on constitutional amendments 13 days ago, some fundamentalists forged alliances with the more mainstream Muslim Brotherhood. Times reporter Neil McFarquhar says the strategy was to maximize the religious vote. Thursday's Business Day section says Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen apparently resents his former partner Bill Gates. Allen's new memoir says Gates didn't share enough credit or give Allen his due financially. Allen accused Gates of whittling down his ownership in the company and taking credit for things Allen did. All this came as a surprise to some early Microsoft alumni. Gates and Allen have known each other since high school and were on friendly terms, at least until recently. Google settled with the FTC on deceptive privacy practices. The charges had to do with the social networking tool in Gmail. Privacy advocates complained that it included users' email contacts in their social network. Google will now undergo privacy audits once a year through 2031. Meantime, the company is taking another stab at social networking. It introduced a new social tool called Plus One. It lets people annotate Google search results and ads so they can recommend web pages. The leaders of India and Pakistan sat together at a World Cup cricket match. Low-level diplomats from the two countries had been meeting to lay the groundwork for restarting a dialogue. Then their cricket teams made it into the semifinals, and Prime Minister Manmohan Singh of India issued a surprise invitation to Yousaf Raza Gilani of Pakistan. India beat Pakistan by 29 runs. It will now face Sri Lanka in the finals on Saturday. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts at nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.